Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for July 19th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I have some great guests for you today. First is another man from the So You Think You Can podcast competition. It's Dustin. How you doing, Dustin?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thought I'd jump on the train. Seems like everybody else is going to be on one of these updates, so I picked the best day to do it, I think.
Yeah, we're making the rounds. Also joining us is Brent Walgamott, my good friend. How you doing, Brent?
Hey, everybody. Nice to see you.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. Kind of a slow day. Not too much happened. Just some shifting here and there. Ultimately, not a whole lot has changed. But we got some conversations, a lot of conversations between Alex and Jason about who they want to target coming into the coming weeks. Alex is still concerned about Jessica. She still feels like Jessica is probably her main target. Whereas Jason's kind of shifting over to maybe I do want to target Christmas. Brent, how do you feel about this?
I don't really understand it. I really don't. I mean, he seems to say, well, I can't take it anymore. You know, the fact that she looks at me that way and I'm the one who injured her foot. I'm like, well, what's Christmas doing to you and why do you want to take her out? I mean, of course, I would love that because I don't think Christmas should be there in the first place. But I don't understand the move. It seems like they're getting a little bit skittish as the week goes on. Like, no. It's not Christmas and Jessica who you should be worried about. You should be worried about this big conglomeration of showmances and Paul over here on the side, but they don't really seem to understand that.
Yeah, it feels as though Alex mentioned that she wants to make sure she takes out Jessica before jury because she feels like Jessica is definitely not going to be a vote for her in the final two, which I do feel like is kind of thinking too far ahead, right, Dustin?
Yeah, it is thinking too far ahead. And a lot of these guys, you know, it's not just Alex. A lot of everybody is talking about, you know, who they want on the jury, not only for jury votes, but who would they want to spend time with on the jury, which is a really strange mindset that I think is kind of unique to some of these newer seasons where, you know, they're just playing for the jury. And, you know, even if they get jury votes from those people, it's really early to be thinking about that. The problem is that they're thinking about it the wrong way. They're thinking about who I want to spend time with. And Alex does seem to be the only one who's even thinking about who would vote for her in the end.
Yeah. Christmas told Raven that Jessica is her target. Raven goes to talk to Matt and they talk about this. They think, yeah, Jessica or Ramses for sure are probably the targets here. And there's this other interesting conversation. Matt, I mentioned yesterday, Matt was talking about like, oh, maybe I should go and talk to Alex and Jason and tell them that I want to work with them and that we're good because I do want to work with them and we are good. But he never did. And then he talked with Raven about it. Maybe we should. Maybe we'll wait. Maybe we'll wait. Dustin, this is why aren't they doing this?
It's classic Matt and Raven. They seem to not go through with anything that they're doing. They've already kind of somewhat moved away from the rest of their larger group to some degree. And it would be beneficial to them to go talk to Alex and Jason. But they're so up each other's butts. They can't find time to do anything like that.
Yeah, Martin in the chat mentions Matt only talks to Raven. It's just very true. Like they're only talking to each other. They are not socializing outside of their circle. No. It's just not happening. And I mean, they're great allies to have if they only socialize within their circle, but it's not good for them. Right, Brent?
No, it's not good for them, but that seems to be something that has happened since the beginning of the game in this house, where you know the feeds came on and everyone was just talking with their own little group. They weren't really talking with other people. Of course, you've said many times, Taryn, that that's the biggest part about Big Brother that makes it different from other games is that you have to have good relationships with everybody in the house because anybody at any time could win HOH. I dropped off for a little bit there, had a few technical difficulties, but I did want to say really quickly about Christmas and Jessica. Christmas playing this so badly. I don't know if you guys saw it on the feeds, but Christmas or Jessica goes to Christmas vote. Have your vote. Christmas is like, well, you have my vote right now. But, you know, the House could change. A lot can happen in a day. And I'm voting with the House. Again, not exactly reassuring. If Jessica ever gets power, Christmas is going to be up on the block. So I don't know why she, if you're going to lie. Well, here she said, I'm not going to lie because I can't keep track of the lies. If you can't lie, you shouldn't be playing Big Brother.
But it's not even really a lie. You know, what you should be doing is just kind of brushing that stuff off. Just say, yeah, you know, we've got the votes. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have to be some big elaborate thing. But for whatever reason, she wants to, in a locked vote coming into Thursday, she wants to put some sort of doubt in the air. And I'm not sure why she wants to do that.
Yeah, this was this happened a little bit toward the end of the day. She talks to Jessica, and this is really a bad move here to put doubt. Everybody in the House, since Jessica was put up on the block, has been telling Jessica, you're good. Don't worry about it. And now all of a sudden Christmas is saying, well, things could change. I don't know. And Jessica immediately goes and tells Jason and Kevin this. And for Jason, this is like, oh, man, he was already kind of thinking, all right, I want to kind of target Christmas. But now he's like, all right, I am done with this. I am so sick of Christmas. I am going to target her.
Right.
And Alex had been trying to be like, no, she's not a threat. She can't win anything. But Jason doesn't care. Jason's like, this is dumb. But not only that, every time I look at her, I feel guilty. I'm done with that, too.
So this is what led into it, basically.
Yes.
That Jason just can't put up with her anymore because he feels like that she's not being a good team member. He feels like she's more with the showmances than anything. I don't think she really is. I kind of don't know where she is except in Paul's back pocket, but I don't think that she's necessarily on the side that Jason thinks she is. The main thing that I hate so much about that conversation with Jessica is that it was just so cringy. It was like, can't you tell that this is awkward? Like, you're a better gamer than this. Maybe it's the medication. I know at one point yesterday she said something stupid and Kevin was like, well, it's probably just the medication. If you're taking so much medication that people are actually blaming it on the medication, that's probably a problem.
Yeah. This is she's not doing too well here. Even her own alliance are basically saying like, yeah, we can take out Christmas. Mark and Matt kind of agree that, OK, the next 4 weeks should be Josh, Ramsey's, Jessica and Christmas. Yeah, it's Christmas, who is pretty firmly on the side of the showmances, is being thrown out constantly as a, well, if somebody takes themselves off the block, maybe we'll just throw up Christmas. We'll take out Christmas eventually. Dustin, are you liking Christmas's game?
It's okay. I mean, it's hard to see what game she has considering she's been in and out of the House. I mean, the minute she walks into the House, it feels like she's completely out of the loop. Sometimes I forget that she's even supposed to be there. And then she walks through the door and there's a big fanfare and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. So she's playing a somewhat loyal game to Paul and to the point they're aligned in terms of their interests. But I can't see where she fits in the grand scheme of things, the greater picture of things moving forward. At first, she was definitely going to be a huge threat. The injury, you know, knocked her down on that. So she's not looking like a huge threat, which in turn makes her a huge threat because she's the perfect person to take all the way to the end. So there's a lot of negatives chipping away at her more so than the positives. So it does scare me a little bit for her.
Yeah, in the beginning, I think Paul was really loyal to Christmas, but ever since the injury and the fact that she's really, really terrible, like it was, I mean, again, there was a time when we thought that she was going to heal up, like, oh, she just, you know, she might have sprained her foot, or maybe she broke a bone or two, but it was going to be like, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks tops, and she's going to be back to normal. But no, she's in like a full body cast, and she's going to be like this for the duration of the game. And oh, by the way, she fell yesterday when she was walking in the kitchen. She fell on some grease and slipped and hit her foot and almost hit her head, and it was terrible. And again, she shouldn't even be in the game, but who am I? I'm just a fan of Big Brother. Never mind.
That was a pretty great moment.
It really does feel like she is the perfect person to take the, not only is she basically ineligible to even compete in the final three HOH, but nobody really likes her all that much. So even if you want to take her to the final two, it's like, oh, yeah, take Christmas. Nobody's going to vote for her. It's certainly possible with the sympathy, but people don't usually vote with sympathy in the final two. So I'd be looking to take Christmas toward the end for sure.
The other thing about Christmas is that she seems to have, and maybe this is just my perception, but she seems to have like a perpetual scowl on her face. Like, she doesn't play nice with others. She seems a bit intense with people. And that's not something good to have in the Big Brother house. You want people to feel good about you. You want people to feel like you are predictable. And I do feel like there are elements to Christmas's personality that lead people to believe that she might go off the reservation at any given time.
The only time that she is completely just positive, not even, you know, not even throwing something negative out there, is when she's just telling a story from her past or talking about TV or movies or something like that. If anybody has a one-on-one conversation with her, there's always got to be something. She's always got to bring some little bit of doubt or some question mark to whatever it is they're talking about. Can't just be like, yep, we're on board, let's go. It's never like that with her.
It's not looking good for Christmas. You know, it seemed like she might be a decent player in the beginning of the game, but whether it's the injury holding her back or just her, just she's not that great at the game, she's just really not doing super well here. And it's hard to see her turning that around anytime soon. But as I mentioned, Matt and Mark talking about making it to jury, we got more talk from them about like, well, once we make it to jury, who cares? Whether you're ninth place or third place, you get the same amount of money. So why even bother? Dustin, do you like this?
No, of course not. This isn't playing Big Brother. This is playing getting massages at the jury house, you know, and it's this isn't a game for them. This is just hanging out with friends. That's what it's turned out to be. And it's not what I want to watch. It's not what I want to see them talk about strategically at all.
Yeah, it seems like it should be the reverse. Like if 11th, it's actually 11th place, so they can't even do math.
Right.
It's 11th place. If 11th place pays the same as third place, that should give you even more incentive to want to play the game well and get to the end and get $500,000. I don't understand this mentality. I don't even understand how they got on the show. Again, Matt, who are you? I don't know anything about you, and I watch you on the live feeds. Ugh.
We know he's Alex's best friend.
Yeah.
Alex Kidwell.
This is the biggest disappointment since I heard that Charmed was going to come back as a reboot, and they didn't bring it back. Anyway, never mind.
Never believed the hype on that.
Yeah. It's I think the thing that frustrates me most is the fact that it's even that it's true. What they're saying is true. Like, yeah, it is like. Once you make it to jury, if all you care about is making that money, then you really don't have any incentive to like try and win the game if you feel like that's not really even in the cards for you. I feel like, again, just up the prize money a little, make bigger prize increments for every place you get. Like, make it so that, you know, 11th place doesn't make the same amount of money as third place. It's not that hard, I feel like. But
and put more competitive people in the house, you know, in your casting process. I don't know how a lot of these people are getting through the whole system, but clearly they're lying about something. They're probably saying, you know, I make everything for myself. I'm the most competitive person I know, blah, blah, blah. And when they get there, they want to roll over and die and just, you know, have fun in the sun.
Well, someone who is playing like that is Josh, my boy Josh on my team, who I love. And he is like, he's the total gamer. He wants to win HOH. He wants to make a big move. He doesn't care the consequences. Is like, damn it all. I really don't care. I just want to get done what I want to get done. And I'm like, you got it right with Josh. How can you get it so wrong with Matt? Because to me, it seems like it's harder to find a Josh. Like, if you're trying to add some diversity to your cast, it's harder to find somebody like Josh. Like, to me, the Matts of the world are like a dime a dozen. I mean, I know he's a gorgeous guy with like the silver hair, but aside from that, you could put another hot guy in the house that's from Baltimore. I mean, it's like RuPaul's Drag Race. I could throw a stone and hit five guys who look just like Matt, and it would be just the same as it is right now. And I guarantee you, Raven would probably be with them too.
We have a question from Randy who asks, how much of Matt's I just want to make jury rhetoric is making him seem like less of a threat? I've gotten a lot of people saying this, like, you know, hey, we can't be too hard on them because obviously they would say this is great strategy to pretend that all you care about is making jury. And I agree to some extent. Again, I'm mostly mad that it's true what they're saying, but also in terms of somebody like Matt, this is all he has ever said from the beginning. We have never seen a hint of anything else. We've never seen anything to suggest that what he's saying isn't true, which isn't to say that he's not going to change his mind once he sees the money in front of him. But I think he is 100% truthful when he says, I want to make it to jury. I want to help Raven win right now. And that's unfortunate, right, Dustin?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, a good portion of it, is love goggles in terms of Raven. I think that if that hadn't come into the mix early in the season, maybe he would be playing differently. I'm not sure, but he definitely, however it works out, he wants to be a part of the show with her for the rest of the summer. And that's what I know about him. That's the one thing that motivates him that I truly know is real.
Yes. All right. So we also had Dominique talking to Kevin. She's asking Kevin, you still up for doing my my show on Wednesday? And Kevin's like, yeah, about that. I don't know if anyone will come. I don't know if this is the best idea for me. And Dominique's not super happy about it. You know, who's gotten into Kevin's head? Who has convinced him to not do my, because obviously he would have loved to do my show. And somebody has talked him out of it. Brent, is Kevin making the right move here?
Of course Kevin's making the right move. I mean, Dominique is just being terrible here. I mean, like, talk about victim noises. Dominique is like the queen because she can't stand it that she has been ostracized by the house, but she has helped that being ostracized by isolating herself in the room. I saw some people on Twitter giving me flack about the fact that, you know, how can you say that Dominique is isolating herself? Because the rest of the house, whenever she goes up and talks to them, they immediately run back to Paul. Who cares? Go out there and talk to people. Have conversations with people. Look, it's totally frustrating to me because this vote is flippable, okay? I swear to God it's flippable. Raven and Matt are very, very suspicious of Jessica right now. Josh is no fan of Jessica right now. Jason and Alex were talking, you know, the longer we hear about stuff, it seems like Dominique is actually kind of innocent in the whole thing. Like, there really wasn't anything there to begin with. The votes are there to save her, and she would rather sit in a room and talk to God. Okay, she'd rather sit and talk and read the Bible. It's frustrating to me. There is a move to be made here, and she's got her eyes closed. It's like she's in the Garden of Eden and she hasn't opened up her eyes yet. She needs the serpent to come by and tempt her to say, hey, you want to make this move over here? Because you can do it. You can stay. But she seems to be totally have given up.
And there's two different ways I feel like you can be isolated in this game. There's when you walk into a room and everybody just kind of shuts up and stops talking. That's happened to Ramses a couple times I've seen and Josh a little bit to a certain degree. But then that happens to you once and then you go isolate yourself. It's completely different. She's not making any effort. If I was her, I would at least be putting myself in there. Even if nobody's going to talk to me, put my face out there, make them remember that I'm human, you know, and not just the person that's in the other room that the minute I walk out a door, they're going to talk behind my back. It makes the world difference just to be there physically. And at least
and she seems totally closed off when she does do that. She has to be emotionally open to these people. Her conversation with Christmas from the day before when she confronted her out in the backyard was a perfect example. It seemed like a cross-examination. There was no honey in that. It was all vinegar. I don't understand her tack on this. Like, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody that's a potential vote this week, it seemed to me like Dominique is more concerned with being right than staying in the house. And that's an issue.
Yeah, it's you're right, Brent. I think more than half the house wants Jessica gone, and they don't really care a whole lot about Dominique one way or the other. But the vote is for Dominique this week, so they're just going along with that. And Dominique is making it easy for them by staying isolated all day. She spent all day yesterday talking to the cameras, just talking about all sorts of things.
Okay, so let's I hear what the audience is thinking right now. They're thinking, well, Paul won't support this, and if Paul won't support this, the house won't flip. Possible. I think that Dominique should literally make it her mission to call him out. Like, Godfrey-esque, I'm going after Paul. Paul is the guy I'm going after. This is what you guys need to understand. He's a veteran. He is playing all of us. He's going to get to the end of this game because he has relationships with everybody. Nobody is targeting Paul right now, and he's way too good. Keep me in the house, and I will go after him. It'll be me versus him. You guys will be on the sidelines. No one will even pay attention to you. I mean, make it a war between him. call him out, go after him. There has to be some fire underneath. I mentioned on a previous podcast that she said, you know, Lord, Father God, please don't make me go ham on these people. I don't want to go ham. And I'm like, no, you need to go ham, because that's the only possible thing that's going to save you right now.
Yeah. And there are people who it wouldn't work anyway. Paul is never going to let up. It's never going to work. Paul has too much control. Nobody's going to care. But there's no reason she shouldn't be trying. She should be absolutely going out there and trying to talk to these people. It doesn't matter if they don't care what she has to say. She should be saying it to them anyway, because that's how Big Brother works. And people have gotten out of spots like this before, when people didn't want to hear a word they had to say, but they got in their ear anyway. Think about Vanessa, who was in a backdoor situation. Nobody cared what Vanessa had to say, but she went and she talked to them anyway, and she got in their ear and she changed their minds. And, you know, you gotta make the effort, even if it seems impossible.
Yeah.
It's always a way out of every situation. Dan Gieselin says
frustrating to watch, because I do feel like that there are some people in the house who are better gamers. I felt like Dominique in the beginning had more of a natural instinct for this game. I think I was wrong about that. Again, as I said previously about Derek, Derek from the winner for BB16 was never on the block. You get to see the character of people when they're on the block and the heat is underneath them. And Dominic was fine until all of a sudden it was like, oh, I might be nominated. And then she started playing really, really terrible, not to mention the talk show that preceded this.
Yes. All right. So we also had Elena getting in a little bit of hot water here for her relationship with Jessica. Her alliance members are not super happy about this. She keeps saying, well, I don't want to be the one to have to target Jessica. I like Jessica. I feel too close to her to do this. Matt and Raven in particular are like, come on. Well, you're supposed to be a team player here. You can't just exclude yourself. You can't make Paul do it for you. You gotta be with us. So she's in a little bit of hot water there. And then also Josh has also been talking about Elena. She's a bit of a competitor. I'd prefer to face off against somebody like Raven than Elena. So Elena's starting to get on people's radars. I know we talked about on the round table that she was in a good spot, but she's starting to slip out of that good spot. And I think it's largely because she's focusing too much on this relationship with Jessica and not enough on her actual allies. Right, Dustin?
Yeah, I was surprised to see her name come up so much over the past like 24 hours. Like you said, you know, she is spending that much time with Jessica. I mean, the majority of her day was those two doing makeup with each other, and why the cameras had to be on that all day, I'll never know. That really shows you how much interesting stuff is going on right now. I would have rather watched Dominique in her room, but she's spending all this time with Elena, who, and I understand they've built a genuine friendship early on in the season, and then they had a split when she had to do her Cody thing and Elena had to do her bigger group thing. But now she's trying to repair that on a friendship level, but it's not necessarily a game level after what Elena has said in private. She's not really wanting to work with Jessica 100%. She's just trying to repair that relationship a little bit, but it looks really, really bad to the other house guests, who have basically spent the last 2 weeks completely ostracizing Jessica herself in the same way they're doing with Dominique. And only now she's coming back on the upswing, and Elena seems to be at the forefront of being right by her side.
You know what else looks bad, Dustin, is when Jessica and Elena are in the room talking about makeup and they move on to anal bleaching. I'll let the audience decide amongst themselves whether or not I got anything out of that or not. But I know Kevin wasn't here for it, so it wasn't really a great time. But to be serious though, I do agree with you about Jessica to an extent. However, I don't agree that Elena's in that much hot water, because she was backpedaling already with Matt and Raven when they were trying to get her to put, you know, if you get power, would you put Jessica up on the block? First, she was like, no, I couldn't nominate her, I couldn't backdoor. Then she was like, well, if I needed to, I would do it. And I felt like that wasn't...
But they latched onto that first part of that statement.
I feel like that was enough for her, at least for the time being. I still feel like she is amongst the safest people in the house. I feel like she has great relationships with even some of the undercats on the other side. But more than anything, I feel like she is, as Dustin said, trying to repair a relationship with Jessica. But to me, it is misplaced, because she doesn't really need Jessica. Like, she has enough people around her. I feel like she can easily get rid of Jessica. But I do feel like Jessica would not target the Showman's Alliance right now. If Jessica out of nowhere won HOH, I feel like she'd probably go after Josh and Christmas. So I don't feel like there's any real chance for the Showmances to go home if Jessica were to get power.
Yeah, basically, Elena was seemingly untouchable coming into even as early or as late as Monday. But it seems like she has there are a few dents in her armor here. And if you do see Elena being targeted next week for whatever reason, it's probably going to be stemming from today or yesterday, right. I should say. There are a couple weaknesses here. So just keeping track of that. And then finally, we had Mark and Josh. They had a conversation. They're mending fences. They're cleaning the hot sauce out of each other's faces. Right, Dustin?
Yeah. This was the most bro-y apology I've ever seen in my life. It's the two largest guys, one of which reminds me incredibly of Andre the Giant, which is bizarre. But these guys come in together in a room. And by the way, Josh wanted to start this apology, but he couldn't go directly to Mark. He had to go through channels. He had to say, Paul, I want to apologize to Mark and I want him to apologize to me. Paul goes to the other room. Paul's like, bro, you got to apologize. And he comes in. So it's like all this rigmarole just to get two people to apologize to each other. When they finally sit down to apologize, they start to rehash the fight a little bit. And I was actually kind of worried because their voices were starting to raise and raise. But eventually everything kind of steamed down. I don't see how they're going to be able to be particularly on the same page game wise, but I think from now on they can at least be nice to each other, especially considering Josh has been getting, you know, from every direction, you just need to chill out for like a week, you'll be all right. So I think things are going to calm down between the two of them.
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to be an ongoing thing with Josh, like every 2 or 3 weeks he has a blow up, and I wonder if they're going to get mean because Corrine, because he was fine, you know, this happened in the beginning of the game, then he was like, I know internally he was like, dude, that was a mistake. Like, I shouldn't have done that. If I, you know, maybe if I hadn't done that, even though he's saying outwardly I was going to be the target, maybe I really wasn't the target. Maybe that was just in my head. Again, I feel like he's looking back at this fight going, that was a really bad call on my part. On the other hand, it's really good feats for us. So that's why I love Josh so much. By the way, somebody else in the chat said, betas unite. Bitch, please. Josh is not a beta. There are many things Josh is.
Oh.
Josh is not a beta. I know he's a little bit in Paul's hand right now, but he's not a beta. He's totally willing to make a big move on his own. Totally, like, wait, he's very Cody-esque, where he's got a plan. He's got like the two nominees, and he's got the backdoor target, and he's not going to tell anybody. So I'm here for a HOH.
I'm sorry for saying that there wasn't much that went on yesterday, because this is some breaking news. Brent is upgrading Josh to an alpha. He's no longer a beta. I remember when Cody was in the house, everyone was a beta but Cody.
And Paul.
Right. So, and yes. Paul, of course. So yes, we're getting some conflicting reports from the chat. Martin says Josh is a theta. Ryan says Josh is not an alpha. No, he's not. Nina says, what is Josh? Not an alpha. Other numbers in the alphabet. So we're trying to find some things. Stephanie says, not an alpha, maybe he's a zeta. Or Ryan says maybe an omega.
He's the omega, bitch. He is the beginning and the end. He is it all. That, yeah.
Lots of options. Yes. Okay, so they do have this apology. They smush the beef. It's gone. There's no meatballs anymore. However, Josh has talked to Alex and Jason and said, you know, we're good now, but I feel like he's still going to come after me. He's still gunning for me. And this is an unfortunate circumstance where when you're in the Big Brother house, once you have beef, it's hard to fully get rid of it. It's hard to, even if you apologize to each other and you feel like, all right, we're good. It's like, well, they still might come after me, right? It's a little bit of the prisoner's dilemma where it's like, they still might strike first now that we've had this.
Right. So, that's what's happening with Alex and Jessica, right? I mean, I feel like it's, you know, once you have beef, it's also what's happening with Jessica and Krisma to get rid of, not able to get rid of it. There's just so much distrust there from the previous fight that they can't really seem to get past it. I do feel like that Josh and Mark will probably do a little bit better. On the other hand, look at Alex. She stayed her hand this week. I know she's been talking about Jessica, but her actual plan this week was not to get Jessica out. So I'll give her a little bit of credit for that. As far as Josh and Mark go, I think that Josh is more likely to target Matt right now. And even though Josh is on Mark's list, he's not the number one target on his list. And with Battleback coming, with someone coming back to the house through the BattleBot competition, I feel like all of these plans that they have like mastered, I feel like they're all going to be screwed up anyway.
Yes, you're right. Josh has been saying that he is targeting Matt even over Mark, even though he thinks Mark is coming for him. Dustin, what do you think?
I still do not understand this. I mean, you would just assume that he would want to go for Mark because of the quote unquote beef. I honestly don't have a good read on this. I mean, what do you guys think?
I feel like he doesn't have even though that there's beef with Mark, at least he has some semblance of a relationship. It's like the devil, you know. I don't feel like he has that great of a relationship with Matt. I also feel like he feels like Matt is like the ultimate cool kid and he wants to make a big move. So he wants to go straight at the heart of the people that he feels like ostracized him and wronged him in the beginning more than anything.
Yeah, but the thing is Matt and Raven have isolated themselves even from the other showmances, so it's not going to be such a big blow maybe that Josh thinks it would be to that alliance.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where basically Josh is going for Mark because going for Matt because Matt has not communicated with him. It's the devil, you know. He knows Mark. He's had a relationship with Mark before, even though he thinks that this beef has caused Mark to be coming after him. He still feels like, well, I still have some sort of relationship, whereas Matt just never even talks to me. And it's bad on Matt. It really is.
I have a question for you guys. What do you think in terms, because we have all these people going a million different directions. Like all that was talked about really yesterday was, if you win HOH, who are you going to go for? In a million different circles, everybody asked that question. What does it look like if we, on Thursday, if we get a unanimous vote, everybody votes together? Does that bring some form of unity into the house? Does that ease some of the tension and we move on to different game plans? Or do we think we're locking things in right now?
I don't think we're locking things in, because even if the vote is unanimous, there's still a major kink coming through the battle back. I mean, that's going to upset Paul probably more than anything if Cody comes back. Even though Cody is not going to go after Paul, Cody's told Paul that before. He told him that during week one. I can't believe that Paul's actually going to trust that. And he may be able to read Cody correctly, but something should happen with, as far as him and Cody goes, they should have a talk and work it out. But I don't know if Paul's going to be willing to trust that Cody won't do him wrong again.
Yeah, I agree. Basically with the battle back looming, any plans made right now are just gonna totally go up in smoke, I think, unless somebody like Jillian comes.
Can we really quickly talk about the conversation that Ramsey's had with the feeders? Because I felt like it was illuminating.
Yes.
At least here's the thing. A lot of times people who are on the bottom, they don't know they're on the bottom. Ramsey's knows that he is in trouble. He knows he needs an ally. He knows he needs help. And he also knows that he might end up on the block next week if he doesn't do something. It was really interesting listening to him talk, because he was like, look, I came into the house. I wanted to have somebody that I could trust. That person went home during week one. Obviously, he was talking about Cameron. Just kidding. He's talking about Jillian. And he's fighting. It's like he's fighting his way upstream. So I do appreciate the fact that he realizes that I'm going to have to win a competition in order to change the dynamics that I'm currently facing, because as they stand right now, I'm definitely in trouble. However, I will say that Alex and Jason recognize, at least they finally are back on the Ramsey train. They're like, he's one of us. We can use him. And we know that if he gets power, he's willing to make a big move. So I feel like that Alex, Jason, Josh, and Ramsey's sort of group, it's not an alliance, but I do feel like that group could go far together.
Yeah, Jason has been saying, I like the kid. I like Ramsey's. I don't want to go after him anymore.
He made him fried pickles.
Yes, he had a lot of trouble making those pickles.
Yeah,
but
almost burnt the house down.
Ramsey's talking to the cameras, understanding that his game is not good right now. This is a dangerous game. I'm telling you, this guy's dangerous. Self-awareness is huge in the Big Brother house. We saw it with Kevin on Big Brother Canada. Kevin recognizes his game is bad. He's able to win a bunch of competitions because he knows the game. And Steve is also somebody who recognized his own weaknesses and was able to work with them. So I think that Ramsey's can do really well as long as he continues his self-awareness and continues to know what he needs to do moving forward.
Really quickly, Brad, somebody in the chat said that Ramsey's is a mini Steve. I feel like that's really that's a bit of a disservice to Steve's game, because Steve, after week one, Steve was never in danger. He was always at the bottom of an alliance. He was within a group. Nobody ever really targeted him. It just wasn't a consideration until you get to like the final five and Austin thinks that Steve's going to go home and then he doesn't. So there was never any real danger for Steve throughout that game. Ramsey's, on the other hand, didn't get what he wanted during week one and has been fighting through the game since. And again, he could have gone home this week if Paul had his way, but Paul didn't get his way this week because Alex wanted somebody else to go home.
Yeah. All right. That is our update for today, July 19th. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out our live recap after the episode tonight for the veto episode. We will have the Virgin King. He will be joining us. We will be joined by him. And then we will be back after the Thursday night live eviction as well. And the battle back episode on Friday night. We will be live after that. Also, we will also be back again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for another live feed update. And make sure you check out The Taran Show. It's new on iTunes. You can find it. It's called The Taran Show. That's T-A-R-A-N. I know it's a weird name. It's why the name works, right?
Right, really, so really, really quickly. I listened to The Taran Show last night. Your interview with Rob was really, really fun. There were some things that I hadn't seen or heard probed before, so it was nice to hear some interesting questions that I hadn't heard before and to see a different side of Rob, and your relationship with Rob was very, very fun to listen to. So make sure you check that out.
It was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I will be recording with Brent very shortly as well. So make sure
that
you tune in for
fun.
That. Because
interesting.
Yeah, it will.
I've led
it
a full life. I'm just saying.
Nina asks when it will be out. It will be out next Tuesday. Every Tuesday we'll be dropping a new interview. So, keep on the lookout for it. And make sure you check out But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary if you're interested in going back and reliving the old golden days of Big Brother back in the days of new Dr. Will. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.